Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. By Hover. Finding the perfect domain name is incredibly easy with Hover. Go to hover.com/twit and save 10% off your first purchase. And by FreshBooks, the ridiculously easy-to-use cloud accounting software used by over 10 million people. Try it free for 30 days at freshbooks.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 314 for August 23rd, 2017. Total Eclipse of the Ham.
Good evening, everybody. It's K9EID, Bob Heil, and I'm in a different place again. But we have the usual wonderful stars of the Ham Nation with us, and I'm glad that you're tuned in. I can tell you this. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the eclipse. What'd you see, Valerie? You went a fur piece to see it, right?
Oh, yeah. We went down to Kentucky to see it. I'll show you a little bit in my segment coming up. But it was majestic. That's probably the best word for that. Or surreal was another word, too. I also want to kind of give a shout out. Just got this one in the – I got a bunch in the mail. But this one I'm going to give a shout out to. ICOM sponsored this plaque, so thank you, ICOM. We've got some more paneling for the wall from some contests, so they're flying in. Contest season's coming up, so I'll be doing some stuff on that coming up next month or so, but I will be talking about the solar eclipse party with a special guest coming up in my segment.
Okay, we're going to look forward to that. George, how did you do? Did you get to see anything in Mississippi?
Well, we saw a little bit here, Bob. It was only 85% here, so it didn't go completely dark. Just looking outside, if you didn't know it was going to happen, you would just think maybe it was a little overcast. But I took a mirror, like I mentioned last week, and I reflected up on the side of the neighbor's house there and watched it that way, and also took a piece of cardboard and poked a hole and watched it on the sidewalk. So, it looked more like a crescent moon than anything else here. However, people have been talking about how propagation is going to be during that period. So I did a little experimenting with that. And, it was quite surprising to me. We'll talk about that a little later, though.
Okay. We'll be back to you. Find out about all that gear you got in front of you. I think somebody's going to get a big prize. We'll know about that. And what about Mr. Huntsville? It's Don Wilbanks back from Huntsville. How did you do? I know you had fun.
Yeah, we had a great time in Huntsville, Bob. Thanks a lot. We had just, and I'm hearing some thunder, so I'm hoping that the power and the internet and everything stays on here tonight. We had a great time. We'll have a full Huntsville report coming up. I've got some eclipse pictures from New Orleans where we were only about 75%, so not nearly as impressive as a lot of pictures that you'll see tonight. We've got also Dr. T's solar update. She's not with us tonight because she traveled to Jefferson City, Missouri, live. So she just got back to Southern California, so didn't have time to prepare a video for us. But I've got a couple of eclipse picks, and we will show those right as we go into Newsline, Bob. So pick it back up.
Excellent. Okay. And we're looking forward to Ward Silver. Ward's going to be on with Valerie after a little bit. So don't go away, and there's some excitement coming here. Well, what I'm going to do at first, I'll show you what happened in our world and out on the lawn of Heil Sound. So, Vic, if you can roll a few of these things, and we'll get in right into it. Make sure everybody sees what's happening. Jerry, remember that antenna I built from the wire? Well, we put that little booger up, and here's the rest of the stills then that went with that. The antenna worked great. It was only up about 3 feet, but we worked Wisconsin and all over. I plugged her into the 7600, and next we had all of the other peripheral things we had to have for these kind of things, of course, a tent. And, oh, yeah, everybody had their blue moon. That was part of the party. And there's Jerry. He was going at it strong. Steaks and hamburgers. And there's Donna and Mike. Things were starting to pick up. This was about 15 minutes. And, of course, Binks had to be there. I mean, the pile sound dog. And what do you have when you have a party is food, good food. Amy really had a great salad and brought that in next to Jerry's steaks and hamburgers and everything else we did. And here's a picture of just about the whole crew as we were getting ready to eat and then charge outside. This is inside the plant. So there we go. There's Derek. He was well adjusted. Notice in the background, take notice of the sky. It was full blown. Everything was good. And as we get through these, you'll see what happened to it. All the street lights and stuff were off, of course. There we were getting all ready, got our shirts on, and they all had their blue moon. I was just posing because we didn't have any Dr. Pepper, but that's okay. And then we all were looking skyward. This was just about noon, and things were starting to get a little bit dark. And then I got on the air, and this was right before all of that. And 20 to 12, I worked a few guys in Wisconsin, Michigan, heard a couple of guys. As it got a little darker, well, I worked a couple guys out in Idaho, so things were cranking up. And this was 100 watts into that antenna we built last week right here. And then there's a video, I think, after this that really kind of lays it out for you. Notice the street lights are on. Look how dark it's getting. And this was the start of it. Those are street lights. I didn't point the camera into the sun because I didn't have filters. But it was really eerie. And this was about, I think, 5 minutes after Sarah was taking pictures of all of us, too. But that was very interesting. And it just kept getting darker and darker. And all the street lights popped on. The cars had to put their all of their lights on. So that was pretty much the whole deal. And I've got a really good treatise here. There's 9 slides that Chet W0CCR took. And he was a few miles north of Carbondale, a few miles south of us where we are here in Fairview. But let's see if we can look at Chet's really great pictures. These were great. He did a nice job as he paged through those. Just got a little better, a little better, and a little better. And then it had an explosion here in the next one. This was kind of cool. Down at the bottom of the last slide, you'll see it there. That's just amazing. Just amazing. So I thought you'd like to see some of that as we saw it from the front lawn of Heil Sound. And we're in the shadow of the arch of the St. Louis Arch. We're 12 miles inside Illinois is where all this was going. So thanks a lot, Victor, for showing all those. I think we made it through all. But that's what we got to see and do, and we had a big time that day. And I have to say we built a lot of microphones that day, too. So it wasn't all play. Because Sarah was watching the clock, as she should. Well, there are more to come. Lots more to come. But I wanted to get that in. And Don, you've got some news also with Newsline and a little bit of Huntsville, I think, also, right?
Yeah, we sure do. Let me show you some eclipse photos first. First off, though, hello to everyone listening on WTWW Shortwave, 5085 and 12.105 going into Africa. Hello, everybody out there all around the world listening on the big WTWW flamethrower. I have a creeper over my shoulder. More on him in a minute. Ted tells me that the WTWW studios there in Lebanon, Tennessee was dead center on the line of totality, and he said it was quite spectacular. The diamond ring effect, when it comes back out and you get that burst right at the edge, they call that the diamond ring effect, just absolutely gorgeous. Not nearly as impressive, the pics that I took from New Orleans. Let's go ahead and show these real quick, Vic. First off, that was our view at 75%, right at the very peak of it. So you see, it didn't get dark at all. But the next pic, you'll see what I'm using to cast that. Yeah! I'm a ham, so I happen to have a QSL card. I poked a hole in that dude, and there you go. That's how I'm casting my shadow. So ham radio and the eclipse all together. I was also operating with the solar eclipse QSO party. I had Whisper going at 1 watt from the house here, and I would check into it remotely. And I got an email from a guy up about 800 miles away from me, and he said that he was amazed to find that I had heard him. I popped up on his screen. On 80 meters, he was only getting about 300-400 miles. And then right at the moment where the shadow went over between us, all of a sudden I popped up as hearing him. He was operating 10 watts, which is a huge amount of power on Whisper. But he said about 800 miles away, all of a sudden, bang, I popped up where I heard him during the Passover of the shadow. So it definitely affected propagation. I was band hopping between 160, 80, 40, 30, and 20. And during the day, I didn't really notice anything on 80 and 160, of course. 40, not much either, but 20 and 30 were very, very active. And so I'm happy to... happy to be part of that. So there you go. That's my eclipse report. Let's go ahead and get into the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. We'll come back and talk about Dr. T, and we'll get into Huntsville a little bit later on. But right now, here's the news. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2077, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, August 23rd, 2017. For a while, hope was still alive for some radio listeners after the Australian Broadcasting Corporation pulled the plug on its shortwave service. Not anymore.
There'll be no restoration of shortwave service for the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. The Australian Senate has voted down a measure that would have put the transmissions back on the air. South Australian Senator Nick Xenophon was among those who fought for Radio Australia to go back on the air following its termination in January. He called the shutdown a foreign policy failure, noting that a number of Pacific Island communities in remote areas, such as the Solomon Islands and Papua New Guinea, relied on it. The transmissions covered remote parts of northern Australia as well. At the time the service termination was announced, the ABC declared shortwave to be outdated and indicated its closure would save $1.9 million, which could be better spent on additional content and services to customers. It said it would reinvest that sum by expanding audience content and services. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
Paying for a de-expedition can be as big a deal as the de-expedition itself, but the radio operators heading next year to Bouvet Island just got a major boost.
Never mind what the calendar says, 2018 just got a whole lot closer for the Bouvet Island de-expedition team 3 Yankee 0 Zulu. The Hams just received a $100,000 grant, the largest ever given by the Northern California DX Foundation for their ambitious undertaking early next year. The international team has been active on 7 continents and with a fundraising goal of $740,500 is looking to have its operators active on what some have called the world's most isolated island, 1,000 miles north of the Antarctic, where 97% of its surface is covered in ice. The team has already gotten support from the German DX Foundation, the Eastern Iowa DX Association, the Twin City DX Association, and the Greater Milwaukee DX Association, amongst numerous others. Bouvet Island, which has had just a handful of activations, is presently the second most wanted entity on the DXCC list. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
Finally this week, as we at Newsline bask in the glow of the Young Ham of the Year Award presentation this past weekend, we're reminded that healthy kids are a true blessing, but not all are so lucky. Newsline's Christian Kudnick, K0STH, has a way to make life a little happier for one little boy whose life is anything but easy.
Oakley Civicus is a six-year-old boy from Alma, Michigan. He was born with a rare birth defect called prune belly syndrome. It's so rare, his doctors say his future is unknown. As a parent, it's the unthinkable. His story surfaces in a flood of news that focuses on things that divide us. On September 3rd, Oakley turns 7. With all of his challenges in life, all he's asking for is birthday cards. Mom says receiving mail keeps him busy, and it makes him happy. I'm asking the amateur radio community to repurpose their QSL cards. Normally, we send cards after a contact. Let's use them as birthday cards and do something that's positive for a little boy and a family that really needs it right now. We all want a better future for our children. Maybe this simple act can help us get closer to the things that bring us together. And maybe he'll write back.
That address is Oakley Civicus, P.O. Box 201, Alma, Michigan, USA, 48801. And for the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With John Williams, VK4JJW, Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, Christian Kudnick, K0STH, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Very nice. And I will post a little Oakley Civicus's address in the chat room here momentarily. Got an interesting text today from Dr. T before we get into her solar report. I love how she puts things. She's just so real and so cool. The band conditions likely suck today. A new solar storm hit yesterday. Luckily, we had some quiet conditions during the eclipse. It was almost as if God went, shh, just long enough so ham radio ops could do their science. Just amazing. All right, let's go ahead and show the first slide here, Vic. That's a nice image of Dr. T on NASA television. Live from Jefferson City, Missouri, with the eclipse there in Madras, Oregon, over on the other side. She did just an amazing job there on NASA TV. If you missed it, it was quite impressive. She said it was one of the most amazing things that she's ever experienced. So hopefully we'll have her on next week via video, and she can talk to us a little bit more about that. Let's go ahead and get into the solar report now with the next one. We're coming down from a moderate-level solar storm that kicked Earth just a few hours after the eclipse was over. Storm conditions may continue for the next 24 to 48 hours, especially at high latitudes before we settle back down to quiet conditions. However, things should be pretty quiet in time for the weekend. Looking at the next one, two regions on the Earth-facing disk are still popping off C-class flares, and it wouldn't take too much for them to manage an M-flare. NOAA's giving us a 15% chance for an M-flare at least until region 2671 rotates off the west limb. Then it'll be only 2672 we need to watch. Expect noise on the bands with a slight possibility of a radio blackout as both of these regions are staying active. On a positive note, the solar flux has increased, so propagation may be better next week. I'm just checking to see if I'm still on here. We just took a little flash here. You can check her out on Twitter. Her Twitter page there is at Tamitha Scove, and also spaceweatherwoman.com is the address for her webpage. So there you go. Good stuff. I see we're still on. It's getting iffy around here. Lots of thunder and a little bit of lightning, and we things flashed just briefly. So hopefully we'll stay on for the full night. Let's go ahead and have a word from ICOM, and then we'll talk about Huntsville.
Heard it, worked it, logged it. Contest season is here. ICOM's high-performance and innovative transceivers will help you make the most out of contest season. Continue your contesting momentum with the IC7300. Ideal for the ham on the go, it's a high-performance HF transceiver with a compact design, RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. The IC7851 will give you the competitive edge you've been looking for. Raise the bar and hear what others cannot with this HF 50 MHz transceiver, reciprocal mixing dynamic range, crystal clear local oscillator design, spectrum scope, dual receivers, and digital voice recorder. And don't forget about the ICOM IC7700 and IC7600 radios. Both of these top-of-the-line transceivers are still available and sure to be the perfect companion for this contesting season. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios. And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. Register to win for great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And while you're there, learn how you could win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for August, that new radio is going to be the ICOM ID4100A dual band transceiver. It's an entry-level D-Star mobile with big rig features. It's got built-in GPS, a full dot matrix display, micro SD card slot for voice and data storage, and available Android and iOS applications. And, of course, it does both analog and D-Star, and a lot more. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And we've got another contest here ICOM's participating in. If you look right here in front of me, it's the IC7300 that, well, you know all about it. This is probably the hottest new radio that's out now. It's a software-defined radio. It looks just like most of the other ICOM rigs and the HF range there. I have an IC7700. This thing operates almost identical to it, and it's a software-defined radio. Well, if you'd like to win that, I can tell you how to do it. Going with that, we're going to give away a set of Heil ProSet IC made specially for ICOM rigs, and we've got an MFJ power supply. It's the MFJ 4230 MVP 12-volt supply, and MFJ is also going to throw in 100 foot of coax and a cobweb antenna, you know, that new small five-band antenna that they have now. So if you'd like to win that whole package, here's what you need to do. You can get the full details on that contest at amateurlogic.tv/contest. It's the 12th anniversary of Amateur Logic, and ICOM, Heil Sound, and MFJ are helping us celebrate it. So thanks to all those sponsors there for helping us put that contest together. And go get the full details, amateurlogic.tv/contest. And I'm going to be back in a few minutes, and I've got an interview here that, I shot while I was in Huntsville with our friend Chris, KD8YVJ, who you've seen here a number of times. But Don's got a little Huntsville action, too, for us right now.
Sure do. And Chris just went to Costa Rica with the Dave Coulter Youth DX, the expedition down there to Costa Rica, him and two other hams, including Bryant Rascal, who you've seen on the show. And what we're planning on doing is getting all three of the youth operators together here on Ham Nation. We'll get Chris and the other young lad, I can't think of his name, lives about 45 minutes away from Chris, so they can all get together and share that Skype machine. And we'll get Bryant from his home, and we'll get them all via Skype, and we'll try to get all three of them together here, hopefully in the next few weeks, as soon as we can get all the scheduling together. So that's going to be exciting. But yeah, let's talk about another young ham, and that, of course, was the Young Ham of the Year Award in Huntsville. So if we can look at the first one, Vic. You see, here we are on stage. That's going from left to right. John Kruk, N9 UPC. He's the sales manager for Yaesu. Yaesu, of course, is one of our corporate sponsors. Emmett Hohensee, W0QH from Radio Waves. Rich Moseson, W2VU from CQ Publishing. Also, both of those guys are corporate sponsors of the Young Ham of the Year Award. And not seen on stage because he wasn't there is Bob Heil. But, of course, Heil Sound is another great supporter and corporate sponsor of the Young Ham of the Year Award, and we couldn't do any of this without them. And then there's Marty Sullaway, KC1CWF, holding the plaque, and some guy in a blue shirt that you you probably recognize. But a great time was had by all. We'll go to the next one here, and this is cool. My son Tyler came, and he reprised his role as Hammy, the Ham Talk Live mascot. And so he had a good time roaming around. And then I alluded to the creeper behind me, but go to the next one, Vic, and you see Flat Don. Yes, Flat Don from Dayton made an appearance, a.k.a. my evil twin, Lon. He was back. And then the next one shows Tyler as Hammy. I'm not sure exactly what he's doing to Flat Don, but I'm sure it's quite unsavory. Next pick is, there he is, outside of the suit. There he is, little N7TMW, November 7 Tango Mike Whiskey. His first Ham Fest with a call sign. Not his first Huntsville Ham Fest by any stretch. He was 8 months old at his first Huntsville Ham Fest. Now he is 17. And then the next one is a nice father and son moment. That's you see some of the WTWW crew behind me. But the next two picks are probably my proudest. That is Hammy in the youth lounge messing with the kids. Well, not messing with the kids, but having fun with the kids. And go to the next one, Vic. And this is just the sweetest picture ever. I will never, ever get tired of that. Tyler is so good with kids. He loves kids. His godson just completely and totally adores him. He just met two of his cousins. You know, he's adopted, but he knows his birth family. And he just met his sister came over a couple of weeks ago and brought her two kids. So his cousins that he had never met before, they hung out and spent about 8 hours together the other day. Tyler is such a kid's kid. And to see him down there one-on-one at their level in the youth lounge was it does my heart good. This is why we do Young Ham of the Year, because every youngster that's involved in ham radio is special, but there are some extra special ones in there too. And since 1986, we've been recognizing them with the Young Ham of the Year Award. So just really, really great stuff. And I want to mention also that we had fun with WTWW, both on the floor of the Ham Fest and also there at the Embassy Suites after hours. And myself, George was there. Rich Moseson, W2VU from CQ, was there. NF4A, Charlie Wooten was there. They did a lot of contesting talk live on WTWW. Ray Novak was there as well from ICOM. And it was just a great fun. We had just an impromptu roundtable and just the best time. So if you've not been to the Huntsville Ham Fest, you should go, because not only is it a really, really good ham fest, attendance down just a little bit, I think, because of the eclipse. But still, they have between 5,000 and 6,000 people there every year. And it's a major ham fest and it's a good one. So if you can make Huntsville, by all means, do so. So anyway, there you go. That's the Huntsville report. We're going to get into George's interview with Ward Silver here and Smoke and Solder here. Actually, Valerie is talking to Ward. We'll get into Smoke and Solder here in just a sec. But first, I want to talk to you about Hover. This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Hover. What is it that you're passionate about? Is it kids? Is it ham radio? Do you have an idea for a business? Are you launching a creative project? No matter what it is, you're going to have a domain name. And buying the domain name is the first and biggest step to building your brand online. Are you interested in photography, dance, pizza, whatever your interest may be? Hover has hundreds of extensions to choose from. You could choose from tech, .tech, .organic, .band, .art, .design, .yoga, .racing, whatever your heart desires, it's probably available. Can you hear that thunder? Wow. With Hover, you also get personalized email that matches your domain and further supports your identity online. And you know what else is great about Hover? Well, the Hover Connect feature allows you to connect your domain name to any host or website builder in just a few simple clicks. Very clean user interface, no upsells, free Whois privacy, best-in-class customer support team. Show the online community who you are and what you're passionate about. No matter what it is, you got to have a website. Go to hover.com/twit and you'll get 10% off your first purchase. That is hover.com/twit. And we thank them so much for their support of Ham Nation. George, let's see what we're doing with Smoke and Solder tonight.
Okay, Don, the first thing we're going to do is talk a little bit about the eclipse. And, you know, I mentioned that, well, you know, we only got 85% here, so it wasn't really that spectacular. Although I saw more or less what you saw, you know, just a little crescent as small as it ever got. But I wanted to do some playing with radios, and I managed to come home at lunch and hang over for a little bit where I could get to my rig. I'd said that I was going to listen to the AM broadcast band and see what happened during an eclipse on there. So that's what I did. And it was sort of what I expected, but a little different. You know, here's a picture right here of 1090. You see that large signal right there in the middle? That is KAI in Little Rock. That's a pretty good piece for me. I really can't pick it up here in the day unless I pull out my loop antenna and listen real hard. And even then, it doesn't show up at all on the band scope there. You can see they had a nice strong signal during the eclipse. Came right on in great. I also tried listening to WSM in Nashville. I thought maybe it would come in because, you know, it's a big station here at night too. No such luck, but KAAY always puts a good nighttime signal in here. I thought that perhaps during the eclipse they'd put in a good signal. And I know they're down a little bit right now because of copper theft at the site. I don't think they're running 50 kW. So I was surprised to, well, I kind of expected it, but I really didn't know because I've never tried to listen during an eclipse before. But the thing that surprised me, look at the clock there. The eclipse here, of course, that's that clock is not corrected for daylight savings time. The eclipse here was a little before 1:42. What I noticed was right during solar minimum here, I was not picking it up. It was not coming in. And then a few minutes later, there it was. So it's like the atmosphere had to cool down a little while before the propagation started up. It wasn't an instantaneous thing. So I think that was the biggest surprise that that I had out of the eclipse this year, is seeing how that behaved right there. I wanted to listen to some more stations as well, but, you know, there just wasn't a lot of time, and I tried to pick two that I knew were more or less, you know, right in the path of the eclipse and that come in good here at night, but not really during the day. And that's what I found out. Well, while I was in Huntsville, of course, as Don said, we got on WTWW and operated a little bit of 150 kW. DX for a while, and it's always fun visiting with Ted and the whole group that was there on Saturday night doing the broadcast. That was a lot of fun. Also, Mike Erickson from Wheatstone Corporation was there when I got up and spoke with Ted. So we had a number of broadcast engineers on all at once there. And so we had some good conversations. But another guy I talked with, and you can see Ted and the crew behind us in this shot, is Chris KD8YVJ, who's actually in the chat room right now. We've seen Chris on here a lot of times before, but I wanted to touch base with him and see what's been going on, what he's been up to, and what he thinks about a hobby at this stage in his licensing. So let's take a look at that. What's going on here right now has become a regular tradition at Huntsville Hamfest here, and it's Ted Randall, WB8PUM, host of the QSO radio show on WTWW shortwave radio. Ted does a lot of other work at WTWW as well as playing music at night, bringing music back to shortwave radio. And he's got a crew of folks here tonight. He's interviewing them. They're passing the microphones around. Everyone's having a good time. We're going to get in there in a few minutes and chat with him as well. But look who's here right now. It's our friend Chris from Cincinnati. Hi, Chris.
Hey, George. How's it going?
It is going well. What have you been up to since we last spoke?
Last time we spoke was at W5KUB, and I'm trying to think. I did buy the last board. I think I told you that. Keyboard with a little trackpad. George bought two?
I bought two.
You bought two, so. And I'm sure you'll be showing that on Amateur Logic. And other than that, not much. Basically just been hanging out here since after the Hamfest.
Okay. Well, we've been doing pretty much the same thing. We did go to eat. You were telling me a little earlier today, though, about some projects you've been working on.
Yeah, so I was trying to work on a project. It's a pocket CW transmitter, so it's basically an Altoid small tin, and then there's an antenna sticking out, a button, and a little light, and basically you just push out your CQ and it transmits it. The only problem I had was getting the code onto the mini board. I still have to figure that out. I thought it was just a direct USB connection, and turns out you need some other special cables, so I have to figure that out when I get home.
Oh, wow. I would have thought it would have just been the USB as well. Well, you learn something every project you do.
Right. So now I know. And, yeah, we'll have to work on that when I return. And other project I've been working on is it's a Raspberry Pi 2. It has an RTL SDR into it, and then I have a SMA connector for that, just a little elbow, and then hooked into that is my ICOM rubber deck that you get when you buy the radio. So I have a newer antenna for it. It's a diamond, I believe. So I just put the old one on there, and it gets the ADS-B transmitted from aircraft, and that puts it on FlightAware. So.
Wow, so you're like a online flight reporting service.
Exactly. So basically it just has my house centered. There's where the transmitter is, and then the receiver, and then it just shows here's all the aircraft within a 100-mile radius, 200, 300. And right now the antenna is indoors, so I haven't really gotten anything outside of 100 miles, but we're working on getting a better antenna outside.
Cool. Well, I worked you on field day this year, and I got a QSL card from you, I don't know, a few weeks ago, I think.
Yes, for the Ham Nation 300, I sent you a QSL card.
Oh, that was the 300. Okay. I couldn't remember which it was. It wasn't field day. It was the Ham Nation 300. I sent out a lot of QSL cards from that event. What did you do for field day?
I operated one Delta this year from the house and did pretty well. I think I got 200, 300 contacts, so not too bad for running 100 watts and a couple wires. And, I have the same situation with the QSL cards. We just got back from our TI-5 expedition for the Youth GX Adventure. And I have a stack probably that big of QSL cards just sitting on the counter. So I just have to wait. They're shipping out the team cards that they made. So I'm just waiting for those to arrive, and then I'll send out my other ones. So farthest one I've gone so far is from France. So, and I'm sure there's going to be more coming soon, and definitely through the Bureau. So,
you know, I've never been on a de-expedition before. Tell me, what's it like? Is it worthwhile?
It was interesting, especially we were in the mountains in Costa Rica. The village is called San Ramon, and we're up in the mountains right at cloud level. So the fog would roll in. So sometimes you could see all the way, there's an area, it's Putarenas, and it's about 30 miles away. It takes about an hour and a half to get there because you're going down the mountain and out and traffic and stuff. But it's like a beach village, and about 30 miles away, like I said, you could see it. And then sometimes the fog would roll in, and you couldn't see 10 feet in front of you. So that was weird for sure. Especially, I've never experienced anything like that. And the other weird thing is when it rains, because you're in the cloud, you don't see the rain hitting the ground. But you can hear it on the roof, but you don't see it. It's really weird. So.
Wow, that is pretty weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really weird because we had a 7-hour storm. It was on Sunday afternoon, so we couldn't operate, which kind of stunks. Like I said, it's Saturday afternoon. A lot of people are normally on the radio. So we made up for it. We made about 1,000 cues in 20 hours or so. So.
Wow, that's a little better than Wayne and I did at field day this year. Quite a bit better.
Right, but we had three operators. We had myself, Bryant, who was here earlier. He left KG5 HVO, and then Austin, Whiskey Alpha 8, Charlie Sugar. So,
you think you'll do it again?
We were talking about it. We're going to try and do another one. We had a great time, and we don't know where yet, but we're thinking we probably should do another one.
I was talking with your father this afternoon, trying to convince him to bring you down to Starkville, Mississippi next month to the MFJ grand event they have every 5 years there. He didn't rule it out. He said it's not in the plans, but he didn't rule it out. So maybe we'll get to see you next month. I don't know.
I don't know. Next month, I just started high school, so I've been pretty busy and, you know, trying to figure out my schedule, trying to figure out everything. So we'll see. Maybe not. Just depends.
Okay. So you're an old school ham now. You've been at this a long time.
A long time, quote unquote.
Yeah, well, you've been at it a little while. What? Now that you've been in it, you know, a few years, what's your favorite part of it now?
That's a hard one.
It was easy last time I asked you this question.
Yes, I know. Probably contesting DXing, especially with the recent DXpedition. Bryant gave me a few antenna ideas, like one was a tree vertical, so you run a wire up a tree, some radials off. I was like, that's a good idea. I go home, I don't have a tree large enough, so I got to go plant a tree. Just kidding, I'm not going to do that. But I got to figure something out. And then he just moved, and he's in an apartment now, so he was trying to figure out antenna ideas. So we were suggesting things. So that was kind of nice, you know, just talking, trying to figure out ideas. Yeah. Exactly. And probably programming, making. I've been trying to get into that. Before I left Friday, I had just gotten access to the makerspace at the high school, done my training and everything. So I'll have access to 3D printers and they ordered some of the basic Arduino kits, so I'm probably going to help mentor some people on that.
Wow, that'll be great. That's that's kind of old hat to you too now, isn't it?
Yeah, especially I've done not a whole lot with the Arduinos, but enough to kind of get the basics of how they work and basically say you can do a lot with them. I mean, they're cheap and they work well. I mean, there's nothing else that really needs to be said there. And, yeah, our high school has a radio club right now. We're just trying to get it on the air. And the equipment's there. They have a three-element beam. If you walk into the school, you can see it. It's visible from the entrance. In fact, when you look at the school from all the pictures, they actually make sure that you can't see above the roof.
They don't want you to see it, huh?
Well, because a lot of people go, what's that, you know? So, but, yeah, we're just trying to figure it out. One of the teachers told me basically that all that should need to be replaced are probably rotor cables and rotor box and control. So other than that, the last time they said they were active was probably about 5 years ago. So everything's been, they have equipment, they have all the basic stuff.
Well, you'll have to put a change to all that.
Yes, I'll have to make sure the equipment isn't just sitting in the box, but call signs active, everything's pretty much ready to go. So I just got to find some people and start it up here.
There you go. Sounds like an excellent plan to me. Well, Chris, it's good to visit with you again. It's always fun to run into you and your family at a lot of the ham fest I go to.
Yeah, for sure. I know we normally hit Orlando, Huntsville, and Dayton. Those are the big bro three, as we call them. And we'll see. Apparently, there's one up in Michigan. We might try and do that. We're not sure yet. And, yeah, we'll see about Orlando. Like I said, just started high school. Definitely a lot busier. And but I'm sure once I get the hang of it, it'll get easier.
Cool. All right. We'll have a good time here at the Ham Fest tomorrow. Enjoy a little more of the friendliest ham fest in the world. Any parting words for our viewers before we go?
No, not really. I think think it was good seeing everybody here today. Had a fun time. I'm sure you did as well. Oh, yeah. And, yeah, that's about it.
Okay, well, are you ready for the snipe hunt?
Yeah, Bryant was asking about that earlier. So I said, I don't know, man, you might be gone, but he thought we were being serious. I had to tell him. I had to tell him about the whole metaphor and thing. Yeah. He honestly thought it was a serious thing.
Well,
I started laughing, and I was like, come on, man. So I explained it to him. It's all good.
All right. 7-3, Chris.
73.
And it is always so much fun to visit with Chris. You know, I enjoy talking to him a lot more than I do a lot of older hams. He's a natural. You know, he likes all the same kind of things that most of my ham friends like. Radios, Arduinos, Raspberry Pis, and you tie them all together. And just a recipe for fun, and Chris is really getting into that stuff. And his father, Jocelyn's great, too. I always enjoy visiting with him. And his mother and little brother as well, you know, great family, and we see him at a lot of ham fests. You know, I mentioned to Chris that they should come down to the MFJ 45th anniversary celebration. That's September 29th and 30th in Starkville, Mississippi. If you're anywhere in the area and you think you could make it, you really need to try to get over there and get a look at all the factories they've got. It's just a great event every 5 years. Try to make it by there. Go to mfjenterprises.com. Look on there. They'll have the full details. You need to register in advance so they know how many people to expect, because they have free chicken dinner on Saturday, but they need to know how much to bring. So check that out. Any way you can make it, you'll enjoy that as much or more than you would most ham fest. I guarantee it. Well, you know, last week, Bob had a question for us. He had a question for me. You know, he built a dipole antenna, and I believe we've got a picture here of it. Here's the antenna right here. Now, there's a problem with that antenna. And I asked the question, what's wrong with Bob's dipole there? Well, I got an answer from Bruce, N1EBQ, and he said, if I'm seeing it right, it appears that Bob soldered both legs of the dipole to the center conductor of the SO239. And that's correct, Bruce. You know, one of those pair of wires there should be connected to the ground connection on that SO239. And only one pair on the center conductor there. So you got it right. Congratulations. You're going to win your choice of one of Gordo's books, Technician, General, Extra, or the General Radio Operator's Exam Manual. Gordo's got them covered. Great resource, especially this one right here. If you've been wanting to get into amateur radio, this book right here can do it for you and give you all the background you need in the process. But the other ones are great just as well. So congratulations, Bruce. Gordo is going to get that on the way for you. I've got another question. We're going to take it right out of Gordo's extra manual here. It's one he specially flagged for me to ask you viewers. And boy, this is a tough one. I wasn't really sure of the answer on this one myself. What is current in the primary winding of a transformer called if no load is attached to the secondary? What's the current in the primary of a transformer called if no load is attached to the secondary of that transformer? Is it magnetizing current, direct current, excitation current, or stabilizing current? If you think you know the answer, send it to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you might win this MFJ, what is the model of this, 2703 three-way antenna switch. It's a great wideband antenna switch, handles up to 2 kilowatts on up to 30 megahertz, up to 1 kilowatt, up to 200 megahertz, and 500 watts up to 500 megahertz. So it's going to handle most anything you'd want to throw at it. I use these myself. They're available in Taipan and SO239s as well. You want to win that? Answer that question that just came out of Gordo's book there. HamNationContest@gmail.com. And you could possibly win. Up next here, we've got our old friend Val and our old friend Ward Silver with her as well.
Yeah, we're going to get to Ward in just a second. Hey, George, nice segment. Boy, these young kids, they're really talented. It just blows me away. And that Chris, he's like a little mini George. It's so cute. Of course, I had to participate in the solar eclipse as well. But first, I had a little contesting to do. So if you want to show that first slide, Victor. Saturday was NAQP sideband. And that ran Saturday 1 p.m. till 1 a.m. Central. So Jerry and I did a multi-2 operation. He had one radio for the 12 hours. I had another radio for the 12 hours. So we made about 1,272 QSOs. And as soon as that 1 a.m. rolled around, man, I had to post those scores. We had to shut all our equipment off, unplug everything, fill the coolers, pack the car. And we were on the road by 1:39 a.m. for a drive down to Kentucky. We got there about 6:30 in the morning, so it was a really long night. If you want to show that next one. And here's some of the goodies we brought with us. I made a little some cupcakes, and we had some Sun Chips, Eclipse Gum, Moon Pies, Milky Ways, and, of course, Blue Moon Beer. So we were all ready for the big eclipse. And the next one shows where we were. We went to Gilbertsville, Kentucky, which was in the path of the total eclipse. We had 2 minutes, 40.1 seconds of totality there. And that's on the Kentucky Lake side. And it was just a gorgeous day. I do have a live Facebook video. We're not going to show it here. It's a little grainy. It was a lot of people converged on this area, too much for the cell towers to handle. And so it's a little grainy, but I will put it out on our Facebook page if you guys want to look at it later. But it's pretty cool watching it get dark, and then all of a sudden all the street lamps kick. It's pretty cool. And the next one we had at this location, K9NR and a couple of other hams were with us at our friend's property, the Grimes. They're friends of ours here in the neighborhood. And he took some of these photos. If you just want to kind of blow through these, that's getting close, getting closer, getting even closer. And look at that. And then we're at total eclipse. And it was really a long eclipse, and it was pretty amazing. All the insects came out, and there's the diamond ring. And then there it is leaving the eclipse. So it was pretty cool. So not a lot of ham DX coming up, so I thought I'd show you guys the ham festivals that are up and coming this weekend. A lot of ham fests going on this coming weekend. So if you're anywhere near these areas, go out and support your local clubs and attend those ham fests. So you can always get all this information also off the ARRL website if you go into their ham fest section. They'll always list the official ham fest going on. So, and one DX thing I wanted to tell you about in the next slide, and that is in Italian, Italy Zulu 7 Golf X-Ray Bravo. He's going to be hitting three somewhat rare countries. I mean, Montenegro, Albania, and Macedonia. So he's already started that adventure. It's from August 21st to September 3rd. So if you need any of those countries, he's going to be on the air. And look for more DX as fall rolls around, better propagation. So you'll see a lot more people getting on the air for that. And then this weekend, I also want to remind you, SMC, Society of Midwest Contesters, we're having a SMC Fest. So if you want to learn about contesting, it's not too late to register. If you go to W9SMC.com. You can go ahead and register for the SMC Fest, and you're going to learn all about contesting, antennas, best setups for small lots, big lots, everything. Even Jerry's going to give a presentation on low band and receiving antennas. So, and that's W9SMC.com, and that's this Saturday. And Also, W9DXCC coming up in a few weeks, and that's September 15th and 16th. Just go to W9DXCC.com. DX Convention. These are not just open to Ninelanders. Anybody that wants to attend can attend. We got people from other countries attending this one. Also, the following weekend after that, September 22nd through the 23rd, is W4DXCC, and that's in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And just go to W4DXCC.com to learn more about that. And that's always such a beautiful place to have a DX convention. So now we're going to be joined with Ward Silver, N0AX, who was on the air. He had a station up, and he had some operators at his QTH for the solar eclipse QSO party. So welcome aboard, Ward.
Hi.
Hi, glad to have
everybody.
You here now. For those of you, those viewers out there, kind of tell them what this whole solar eclipse QSO party is about and what it's intended to do.
Okay. Basically, the idea was that some researchers had taken data from the reverse beacon network, which is a system of automated CW receivers that decodes all the stations and puts out spots that says, hey, I hear the station at such and such a frequency with such and such a signal-to-noise ratio. And it's been building quite a presence on the HF bands for the last few years. Nathaniel Frissell, W2NAF, as one of his doctoral papers, I guess, used the data to show the effect of a solar flare on the HF bands. He's a geophysics guy. And this got a lot of attention. What do you mean? What's this RBN thing? What are the hams doing? Long story short, it morphed into this event where all the hams got on the air on these modes that the receivers can decode, like CW, PSK, Whisper, and capture the signal strength of all these stations as they're operating. And so as the eclipse went across the United States, the receivers all decoded these signals and logged the signal reports on all bands from 160 through 6 meters, whatever they could hear. And so this data is now captured. It's at Virginia Tech, and it's one of the largest on-the-air experiments ever made. So if you participated, be sure to send in your logs. The website is hamsci, H-A-M-S-C-I dot O-R-G, and then click on the SEQP rules and information, and it'll tell you how to do all this stuff. Anyway, it's been a big success. I've got some stats, and they have, let's see, Whisper data.
Yeah, I saw the preliminary reports showed that they had over 670,000 spots detected just by the RBNs. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's just the RBN, and that doesn't count PSK Reporter and Whisper, net, and all that stuff. So it's huge, plus gigabytes after gigabytes of data. I don't know how they're going to all get it to Virginia Tech, but the bands were digitized by software-defined radios, and so it's really an enormous undertaking. Well done.
So now I understand you guys were on the air. Did you use your call sign or
no? N0AX? This was the inaugural appearance of the E-Layer Contest Club. The little town of E-Layer, Missouri, happens to be 1 mile from the station, so you have to drive through the E-Layer to get to my station. So W0 Echo Charlie was on the air. We worked Chris. We worked several other people. A lot of one-by-one calls from special event stations out there for the eclipse.
And you were mostly, you said you were on like 20 and 40. Now, did you notice any abnormalities or anything?
Yes. On 40 meters in particular, it was very unusual to have propagation to the west as the propagation went through the eclipse to the west. We had nighttime conditions out to the west coast and Colorado, southwestern United States. And then as the eclipse moved over Steelville, which is where the station is, we were in the path of totality. As the eclipse moved over us and then to the east, the band opened up to the east. So we had nighttime conditions for hours on 40 meters, but in different directions as the shadow moved across the United States.
And I think you had, what, N5OT also. I have a slide of that one, too. He was operating there as well. How many operators did you have?
Mark and his family came up from Oklahoma. We also had K5TR. He stopped by. And KD0YJN, who's local. So we had four operators. We put the radio on two bands most of the day, on 20 and 40. We could have moved around on different bands, but we were really interested in generating data for the experiment. So we thought it would be better to stay on two bands the whole time so our signal could be observed under all the different conditions. I understand that on 160 meters, the conditions changed dramatically by six or seven S units as the shadow moved through.
Now, when you noticed propagation moving from the west to the east on 40 meters, about how long of a was that? Like an hour leading up to it as the eclipse started to go, as the moon started to go in front of the sun? Or
we could hear nighttime propagation basically early on. The eclipse started at 10:30, I think, in Portland, and that's 12:30 our time. But we could hear nighttime conditions as soon as we started operating around 9:30, and it got stronger and stronger. Like everybody else, I went outside to look at the eclipse, so we lost about a half an hour right around totality. But It changed for a long time. It held in there. And then as soon as the path was completely illuminated again and the D layer built back up, we lost propagation to the west. So it took about a half an hour to an hour for 40 meters to get back to normal.
And now I noticed you had that weird thing going on 40 meters. Anything on 20? Any differences you notice on 20 meters?
Yeah, on 20, when it got dark, we would sort of see deep fades. Stations would be in there nice and strong, and then suddenly they'd just go away, and you would see fades of, four, five, six S units. And I don't know how much of that was due to normal summertime absorption and how much was due to propagation being affected by the eclipse, and that's what the researchers will tell us. And there's already some interesting data that they're pulling out of the submitted logs and all that that really show a dramatic effect.
So was it almost like hearing, like when you hear stations come in and out really quick, like you're working off a meteor scatter or something, you might hear them come in really quick?
Wasn't quite that quick. It takes the thing that really changes is it's called recombination. And what happens is the solar UV comes down into the ionosphere and knocks the electrons off the atoms, creating the electrically charged or electrically conductive layer. And when the UV goes away, it takes 5 to 10 minutes for that atoms and electrons to start finding each other again and becoming neutral. And when they're neutral, they're no longer conducting. So it takes about 5 or 10 minutes before you start seeing the effects.
And do you know approximately when they'll have a lot of these results published? So I'm really curious about 6 meters and 160. Those are the two I'm actually, and maybe some VHF.
I think the biggest effects were on 160 on the low bands. I haven't heard much about 6 meters having much of a change. But they're going to provide some elementary or introductory, I guess is the right word, statistics within the next few weeks. There'll be an article, a summary article in QST in December, just a preliminary. The professional research guys and gals will be doing papers on this for years. So watch QEX and QST for articles next year, and there'll be web online stuff, plus the ham site. A website will have information.
And when you were making your QSOs, did you notice during the eclipse any weird noises or echoes? You know, like if, say, you're working someone long path, you know how you hear that echo? I was just curious if you heard anything like that at all while you were working these stations? No, nothing?
No, we didn't. What I noticed mostly was deep rapid fading, particularly on short skip, high angle into the ionosphere on 20 and 40 meters, 20 meters in particular. The fading was deeper than usual, and it happened rapidly over a few seconds, and then the station might stay away for, I don't know, a minute or so. It was almost like working 160, where you have these really long waves of fading, and you just have to stay with the station and ride them out. Same thing on 20.
Okay. Anything else I should have asked or didn't ask, or anything else interesting you noticed?
Well, I tell you, what I would really like for people to do now is make sure they get in their logs. Even little ones are useful. Anecdotes, maps, graphics, what have you. Go to the HamSci website and submit your log. You'll get a nice little downloadable, printable certificate. And the next project after this will be what we're calling a personal space weather station, and little simple instruments that hams can build and deploy themselves and then automatically upload data. So there will also be more of these on-the-air events. So stay tuned if you like participating, because there'll be lots more to do. This is really catching a fire.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for joining us so last minute and to talk about the solar eclipse party. Really appreciate it, Warden. And I'm sure we'll have you back again, because you're just a wealth of knowledge. You're my encyclopedia.
Well, yeah.
And do you have, are all those books there for personal use, and are they organized by the Dewey Decimal System back there or something?
Well, I'm CDO, which is OCD in alphabetical order, like it should be. So I have my books all set up. But yeah, there's antenna books, and there's transmission line books, and there's all this kind of stuff. And then I have kittens that crash my computer and do all sorts of other things, and all crammed air into the engineering department, as Ellen calls it.
Well, you're my living encyclopedia, and I appreciate you coming on and helping us with that tonight. So thanks so much.
Thanks. I'm glad to help, and stay tuned for further details. This would be fun.
And I'm not sure if they're going to keep you around in case there's chat room questions. So
I'm here.
Appreciate it. And I'm going to head it over to Don, who's going to talk about FreshBooks.
I am. That's the only kind of book I think that Ward Silver hasn't written, and that is FreshBooks. Well, Ham Nation's brought to you this week by FreshBooks. Their all-new version of their cloud accounting software will make running your business easy, fast, and secure. The FreshBooks dashboard gives you quick access to your spending, your outstanding balances, total profit, account reports like sales tax summary, profit loss. Time tracking features make it easy to bill for time by client, by specific projects. Just press play to track your time to the minute. When it comes time to create an invoice, you'll know what you did and when you did it. And you can now assign services to projects and designate different rates for each service so you can bill more accurately for your time. You can also send professional-looking invoices online, get paid an average of 11 days faster. And with FreshBooks Payments, your customers can pay straight from their invoice, see what invoices have been sent, viewed, and paid. And you can brand and set recurring invoices, set automatic payment reminders, or set automatic late fees. Stay connected to your clients. Keep tabs on your business no matter where you are with the FreshBooks app. You can snap a photo of your receipt or connect your bank account and credit card to automatically import expenses daily. Very powerful tools is FreshBooks. FreshBooks integrates with Stripe, Shopify, Gusto, Acuity Scheduling, and more. And FreshBooks adds new features and improvements to their platform weekly. You can now reward prompt clients and encourage customer loyalty by adding discounts to recurring templates. Open any invoice in a new browser tab window so you can work across several invoices simultaneously. It's no wonder they were included in the Forbes Small Giants list for 2017. You can try FreshBooks free for 30 days at FreshBooks.com/HamNation. Enter HamNation in the How Did You Hear About Us section. And FreshBooks, thank you so much for your support of this episode of Ham Nation. You know, I operated remotely here from the house doing Whisper for the QSO party. And I was band hopping between 160-40 or 160-80-40, 30, and 20. But I didn't keep a log. I'm wondering if I can go back in the software and see if that is still there. I don't know if it is or not. So I'm going to have to go back and dig in that and find out. Maybe Ward can answer that question in the chat room section, which is coming up right now with Amanda.
Well, good evening, everyone. And Delta wanted to say hi. Oh, she's stealing treats. Sorry. Okay, first thing, let's talk about the eclipse a little bit. I saw the eclipse. I was working, so I just would sneak out occasionally and, you know, see it here and there. And, of course, I watched totality, where as much totality as there was. And, oh, Radio's saying hi now, too. Say hi, Radio. Hi. Anyhow, I thought it was going to get darker. That was my biggest thing, was I expected it to get darker. But it was kind of fun to keep track of how the temperature fell and everything like that. Let's see. Let's go to our questions here. Actually, I'm going to say one more thing about the eclipse, and that was some people during the eclipse, let's go to the Aries side of it, actually supported by doing communications for helping do parking and stuff like that. WY7KY, Tom Ritter there in Wyoming, him and a group of hams were helping, I think, looking at his Facebook page, I noticed that he was helping assist people doing parking so it wasn't mass confusion. And there was hundreds of thousands of extra people in Wyoming. And in fact, I think they decided that it doubled in population that weekend. So anyhow, all right, let's move on. Val, I have a couple of questions for you. First one is by, and these are kind of, they coincide. WB3BJU Don says, what is good software for daily QSO logging? And the second follow-up is KJ4CMY. David wants to know, what is the easiest logging program to install and use? So take it away.
Okay. Well, if you want ease of use, HRD. It's very easy menus. Everything's there for you, but you pay. But HRD, Ham Radio Deluxe, is really easy to use, and they have all the bells and whistles you need. If you're a little more computer savvy, you can do DX Lab Suite. That's what I use. It's free. You only need to download the modules you'll use. If you're never going to do digital modes, you know, some of the stuff you don't have to download. But it's a little more of a learning curve, but it's free. And if you ever have any problem, there's a great reflector on it, or you can email them and they're very good about updating things or helping you out. So those are the two that I really recommend. The two probably most popular ones out there is HRD or DX Lab Suite. And if you're going to do any contesting or a DX expedition where you're operating from an island and you just want to go really fast entry, N1MM. That's free, and that's really easy to use. So that would be that.
Very good. And I personally, I also like HRD, and we still have a free version. But yeah, it's easiest because you can have so many dual accounts, and it's really hard if you have joint people, if it's a his and hers ham shack, it's hard to keep up other software besides those two. So, all right, let's move on. Don. Oh, and I forgot one thing. Victor, Bob says there was another video to play. Would you like to play that?
Sure.
Okay. Why don't you take that away, and then we'll wrap it up from there. So.
K9EID. K9 Echo Italy Delta. K9 EID. K9 Echo Italy Delta. K9 EID. Okay, thank you. We're in Fairview Heights, Illinois, in the shadow of the St. Louis Arch. And copying you very fine. You're about 5, 6, or 7 here. K9 Echo Italy Delta.
So much for that. Thanks.
I think it's EM38 where I am. Thank you. Where are you? Yeah, thank you. Wow.
Huh. All right. Bob wanted to make sure we saw that. That was pretty cool. And it didn't look that dark there in Illinois either. All right. Let's move on. Don, next question's for you. This is kind of a personal one. I just saw Jeff's VE badge sitting here above my monitor. And it says that his accreditation expires September 5th of this year. And I said, hey, honey, did you know that this is expiring? He said, yeah, I don't know. What am I supposed to do with that? So come on, Mr. VE, tell us, how do you correct that? Do you have to contact the ARRL or what?
Yeah, exactly. Just contact the ARRL and they will just basically reissue it. Yeah, it's you've already taken the test one time to get the accreditation. So just let them know that it's expiring and they'll send you a new one. And they're really good about answering the phone. I had a question when Tyler was taking his test, his technician test. I asked them, I said, you know, I'm planning on, you know, I'm taking my son to his VE test. Now, I am a VE, and this is a session that I normally work. And I know that I cannot sign off or do anything with his test, but can I still work the session as long as I don't touch his stuff? And they went and looked it up, and they said, you know, we don't see anything. And they had actually gotten several questions about that. He said, we don't see anything absolutely prohibiting it, but it's probably not a good idea. And I said, you know, that's what I was thinking. I didn't want to give any hint of impropriety, so I left my VE credentials at home, and I was just there as a civilian. But I got that information on the phone real quick. So just go to the ARRL VE page, and if you want to give them a call, they'll be happy to talk you through any problem you have.
Well, there you go. And anyone else that had that question, I hope that answers it for you. That's all I have. And I just got bit by a mosquito on my forehead. I'm just so mad. All right. That's all I have.
I got a creeper behind me. You think you got problems? Look what I got back here.
That is scary. My screen broke, so I had to switch monitors. I'm just kidding. That's all I have. Thanks, Val, for an awesome, awesome interview. That was great. And George, your interview is also just as well with Chris. So that's it. Wrap it up.
Good stuff. All right, who's wrapping up? George, you want to wrap up tonight?
Do we have nets? I thought the creeper would.
Oh.
You guys, are there nets?
My evil twin Lon?
Yeah, let me.
Yeah, where are the nets, Amanda? Where are the nets?
See, this mosquito has sucked the life out of me. All right, yes, nets. We're not going to have a 40-meter net. Kevin is feeling ill tonight, and he's canceling it. So look on 20 meters at 14,268. Attack 311 for DMR net, 14 Charlie for the D-Star net, and a missing one Echolink. Do drop in. There you go. Thank you, Val.
There we go. That sounds like everything. All right, well, for Ward Silver and, of course, Chris, KD8YVJ, and everybody else that's those were our guests tonight. We certainly appreciate them, and the normal cast of idiots here, the usual suspects. Thank you all for watching Ham Nation. We'll be back next Wednesday, and get out and play ham radio. Support your local clubs. Support your local ham fest, and by all means, support those who support us because we couldn't be here without them. So there you go. Have a great week, and we'll see you all next Wednesday night. And congratulations again to Marty, KC1CWF, the Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, 2017 Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year. So with that, good night, everybody. 7-3. We love you. We appreciate you. And we'll see you next week. Good night.